Hey there, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. It is I, DJ Impact, with Matt Michael, Sin City Steve, and Rob Bossolari. And welcome everyone to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys. It's great to be back.
You look very tan.
Fellas, enough of the cruel. You guys were like doing stand up on my vacationing. I don't understand what's going on here.
And look what happened. I go on your little show, and then they come shooting at me with AK-47s, and they're eating the dogs and they're eating the cats. Oh, all God. Because I went on your little show.
Listen. Anyway, I'm happy to be back and to see you, that you guys haven't completely destroyed the show. Everything seemed like it's still
yet.
Wait, did you not pay attention?
Oh, man. All right. Listen, if you're watching this live, put the comments in the chat box of YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, and we will try to reply as we see fit. Until then, we're going to get right to it. Let's see what was too sweet for the week. All right, Sin City Steve, one thing I did do this week is watch Dynamite just to see.
Really?
Yeah, and I was just kind of seeing what was going on. Apparently, I was one of the 15 people, I guess, who watched it. I don't know. But you tell me, man, what was the highlights for you this week?
Hey, man. So the thing is, obviously, it's been a while since I've been on the show. Last week was All Out. And a lot has happened. The thing is, as far as Dynamite this week, it kicked off with a video package. When can we say that? I mean, that shit never happens. So, and it was a solid video package. Obviously John Moxley tried to kill Bryan Danielson at All Out by suffocating with a fucking plastic
bag.
This
is murder.
And yes, I was one of those chanting, "This is murder." And, it was fucking surreal. And that was what was the crux of the video package. It was put together extremely well. They spliced in promo footage of Mox, Claudio, and Pac. Very, very solid stuff to kick off the show. And, you know, speaking of All Out, I wasn't here to mention it, but the Pac and Ospreay match was probably one of the absolute greatest matches that I have ever seen live. And that encompasses a lot. So too sweet to those guys. Fucking phenomenal match. Go out of your way to see it if you haven't yet. Ricochet, Sammy Guevara, they went out and had an 11-minute extravaganza. You know what you're going to get when I say it's a Ricochet match. You know what you're going to get when I say it's a Sammy Guevara match. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the cross sections, they added up. It was exactly what you would expect. And, Ricochet has jumped right into AEW. He's doing some crazy shit. You love to see it. And if you don't, you're just a tribalist troll. What can I say?
I tell you this. I was a little worried. As Raw and everything's been transitioning from well, I guess they didn't really transition, but SmackDown over into Raw and everything, they almost freaked me out because Alicia, their announcer, was on Raw 1 week, and the next day she was doing NXT, and then that Friday she was doing, and I'm like, wait, I was like, Ricochet, you better not have taken fucking Samantha. You better be on. She better be on Monday. Why are you working 3 days? But she did, she was back on Monday. Man, you guys can have Ricochet. Don't touch the man. That's all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So the true feelings come out, huh? I see how it is.
Okay. Yes, sir.
What else? When you get into bed, you want to hear, weighing in at 175 pounds, hailing from Las Vegas, Nevada.
God,
DJ.
If she was 175 pounds, I'm sure you'd be happy. Take that. Fuck her being there.
Yeah. All right, man. Is that all you had? Or you have something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rob, what did you find too sweet for the week for you?
It wasn't that it was a great match, but I was happy to see her back. Yuka Sakazaki
and she gets a win over the professor. She is so damn cute. It was funny as hell. Collision was really a conglomeration of great matches. We had the Beast Mortos. Anything with him in it now is good. Anything that incorporates hologram, great. You're seeing a very conflicted title holder in Wheeler Yuta. Yeah. And he's forced to wrestle matches, and he just can't focus until Anthony Henry goes, "Oh, you miss little Daniel Bryan," and then he's beating the shit out of him.
Hey, man, don't talk about the man's dad.
Yeah, but that was one of the most surprised moments. I knew something was going to go sideways when, you know, when they did that swerve. But to see the reaction on Wheeler Yuta, like, it was like watching the kid at the end of Terminator 2, watching the Terminator get melted. It's like, oh my God, you just took away his dad. Goodness. And now he can't even cut the promo. They're asking him, "Hey, what's going on?" "I can't talk about it." So they really are doing a good job. Is it super long-term storytelling? No, it's not as bad as having a house be purchased at the beginning of a show and at the end of that same show burning it down. But even that wasn't some type of storytelling. Even, like, oh, wow, look at that. He was nice enough to take all the street numbers off the house. You know, hey, it was nice of you, you know. So when you burn it down. On there. Interesting. Is that Studio B? Do you move the house to Studio B? But it shows that they're attempting to do some longer term stuff, and I'm liking it. Watching him mope around, I still don't like. You know what dawned on me today? We were talking about this earlier, DJ. We ran into each other.
Yeah.
This reminds me of what AEW does. Reminds me of watching ECW back in the day. If you watched ECW at any given time, you would never see a premium match. You would always see scrubs fighting each other nonstop. And they would be talking about, the Tajiri and Rob Van Dam. And you would never see Rob Van Dam. You would never see Tajiri. But once in a while, they'd throw in Al Snow. And these matches would go on all week long at 3 in the morning. I'm getting that feeling from AEW where they're putting in lots of jobbers. And they're just sprinkling them all around and to stretch out the product. I'd rather see them just yank one. That's another conversation. But that's what I got, because there was a lot of jobbers on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On these shows. Stretching it out, but anyways, it's another conversation.
Gotcha. All right, well, let me go over to you, Matt Michaels. Man, what was too sweet for the week?
Well, it is definitely is AEW is like watching TV at 3 a.m. makes you want to go to sleep, and it's nonsensical and boring as fuck. But you know, that's a whole nother conversation. We got the street fight between the Wyatts and American Made was excellent, just exactly how you should do the storytelling on that, with some great high spots, including that angle slam that went into the table, which could have been very dangerous. Eric Rowan picks up the whole fucking barricade by the goddamn timekeepers.
Right.
Like, Jesus Christ. And they're so fucking over, it's sick. So I guess the idea of putting together a number of people who fans enjoy but felt are mistreated.
Yeah.
There you go. Works. Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre and CM Punk, for fuck's sake, I hate to say this, but fuck, they're doing their best work. It's disgusting, but it's fucking good. And Drew said this, "I was pretty annoyed with CM Punk returning to WWE, but I understood business and I understand why it was done. But I found it interesting that everybody started going, oh, it's obviously he's going to be this, or obviously he's going to be this guy. I was sitting there thinking, that's a lot of real history here and a lot of real feelings I've got. And I get the opportunity. I know we could tell the most compelling story of all. Because no matter my real feelings, I'm still a professional, you know. He's still a professional, and we've been given the platform to show the world what we can truly do creatively." Huh. I wonder if Mr. and Mr. Buck should learn something from people. Just saying. I don't know. Just, I don't know.
Right.
You know, TNA had another pay-per-view, you know, well, not really a pay-per-view per se, but, you know, they're special.
A premium live event?
Well, I don't know how premium it was.
Oh, my God.
Was a sold-out live event. Was it at least a live event?
Yeah, I mean, there were at least more.
Was it a deluxe live event? We'll do it like Kroger Foods. It was a deluxe live event.
There were probably more people there than at Collision, or thereabouts close, to be honest.
That doesn't surprise me. Good old Dayton, Ohio.
So yeah, a sold out house. The way they've been tying in the NXT and TNA now is just working wonderfully. To see Wendy Chu wrestle Jordynne Grace was great. We're going to get Wendy Chu and Rosemary versus Valkyria and Crazy Bitch.
Crazy Bitch, I don't know.
Yeah, the Paxley, Tatum Paxley, that's happening this week. So they've been setting that up, and just interesting that you took Wendy Chu, who had this sleepy gimmick, and now it's dark sleepy gimmick, but then you had Rosemary, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, something makes sense. Which, who the fuck knew that would come about? Whatever JBL's doing, sign me up. Because he came down, helped out Nick, and then yesterday showed up at MLW and helped out their guy over there. Something's going on with this dude, and it's fucking fascinating, because what could this all be leading to? Dude, you know, he still has some kind of contract at WWE, and they don't do shit like this without something in the works. So
yeah,
it's gonna be interesting.
It is.
A rumor is that he's investing in those companies, and obviously by his presence being associated with those companies, it's also just generating more revenue.
Does that make them, and I'm being serious, does that make them proxy WWE companies in some small way?
Well, TNA already is now.
Yeah, TNA, yeah. TNA is.
So, and if he gets involved in MLW, then yeah, because
I'm just like, I make
recruiting some people.
Keep in mind the legal stuff that just went down with WWE and MLW as well.
Right.
So I don't know if they're.
But look who was behind that shit. Look at the era that was. Now look at Mr. Levesque and how, you know, how friendly everything is now, because Paul understands what this business is about now. Nick Khan understands what the entertainment business is about.
How integrated is the WWE and TNA? Is this a temporary alliance, or is this something that's just beneficial at the moment, and each side is just kind of doing a
This is your handshake. Last question, Rob, so I can continue with the rest of the show.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's just whatever it is. I mean, honestly, to be honest, the fact of the matter is that there. Get out of the idea that these companies are working together because of this, that, or the other. Endeavor has a stake in TNA and the streaming, right? Yeah. So they're going to have to. I mean, of course, got no fucking clue, because the question was stupid.
You know, I spent earlier today saying how much I like working with this fucking guy, and now
yeah, you did. All right, let's move over and see who needs the love. All right, let me get this this timer here going. All right, Rob, who needs some love?
I'll be honest, and it's not that he's been overlooked. He's wrestling, but they don't know what to do with him, and he's being a second banana. What are we doing with Kyle O'Reilly? He kind of just looks like a fucking goofball playing like he pantomimes everything that Briscoe does, and he just looks goofy in the ring. I mean, when he was in NXT, they were trying to dress him up like Orange Cassidy, if you remember, and that was a gimmick they were working off for a while. I don't know if anybody knows what to do with this guy. He has the ability, but he has absolutely no persona unless it's borrowed or he leeches onto somebody else. And you're using him, and you have him in a group of misfits that have no direction. Mm. That entire conglomeration.
Do we just hear the guy who does Trump for a living talk about clinging onto some other personality and using that to get over? What?
Goddamn right.
At least you fucking admit it.
Yeah, fuck right. You know, I get that all the time. Like, so Rob, what happens when this guy's out? What happens if he gets shot? If he gets shot, I wear a white suit. What happens if he gets fired? I do it for 3 more months. Shut the fuck up. I've got Obama in the background, and I'm working on, I'm going to do a fucking, fucking Cat Williams. Okay? These motherfuckers do not know. I will have impersonations for days.
All right. Let me move over to you then, Mr. Matt Michaels. I knew he was going to. All right. Tell us, who needs some love out there?
I'd give some love to seeing Hammerstone on NXT. And not only seeing Hammerstone, and it was tough because you had to go and, you know, essentially try not to feed him to Boba Fetty, but they had to have him lose to him. But then you have him team with Jake something. And it looks like this is something they're going to go forward with for a while. So it's a nice combination. I think that's a fucking great tag team.
It makes all the sense.
Yeah. I've already put in for 10% of the name Hammer something. So I think that if he goes with it, he better give me a cut.
There you go.
But yeah, I think that there's some love there. And you gotta give love to Andrade and Carmelo Hayes 5 times now, I believe, yeah. And it's still not fucking old. It's going to be great to see Andrade go against LA Knight. Andrade is a guy that I never liked because he could not get himself over because he couldn't speak English. And here you go. He now has personality, and Carmelo brought that out of him. He brought the wrestling out of Carmelo, and it's fucking golden. So
yeah. Good stuff there. Sin City Steve, man.
All right, I gotta say it. Where is the love for the Outrunners? I mean, these dudes are absolutely fucking over with the crowd. It's unreal. The Collision taping, they had the loudest pop of anybody at Collision. Fucking insane. If AEW handles these guys correctly, they actually could have the underdog tag team that they strap a rocket ship to and boost them all the way to the titles. That would be something that I would love to see. Have a team like the Outrunners come out of jobbing and obscurity, get and literally catch fire, and well, figuratively, I should say. Literally, you know, they've been trying to do that with too many other people on their roster.
Right.
But in any event, don't want to steal other people's gimmicks. But yeah, figuratively, if the Outrunners catch fire out of nowhere and go on and they face the Young Bucks, they beat the Young Bucks for the tag team titles, I think that that's a great story that they could actually work with. But again, it comes down to if they handle that team correctly. So yeah. We all know how they do in certain instances with booking. Who's
that valet that's with them? She showed up like once with the poofed up 80s hair.
I don't know her name offhand, but yeah, she, it's interesting that I know the Collision taping that I went to, she came out with them and, they got their first win at that Collision taping as well. But yeah, I would love to see them just strap the rocket ship to fucking Turbo Floyd and Truth Magnum. I mean, Michaels, you got to love these guys. They're straight out of 80s WWF, man.
Yeah, which is hysterical that the AEW fans are going, well, that's good shit.
Exactly. Exactly. And trust me, the irony is definitely not lost on me.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get into this week's WTF. All right, Mr. Michaels, did you find anything this week that made you go, what?
Yeah, I've been finding it for the last couple of weeks, and it's called John Moxley, like, starting a takeover for no fucking apparent reason. The guy's been the fucking company since the goddamn fucking beginning. I do not understand the logic in this bullshit. And, of course, instead of attacking the Elite, who fucking run the company, it's Daniel fucking Bryan, who is a crippled old man who has the world title for no goddamn good reason. And at the same time, the Elite's burning down fucking Swerve's house for no goddamn reason. Instead of John Moxley, if he's taking over the company, why wouldn't his crew be burning down Swerve's house? And why the fuck is Pac in this? That guy is a fucking absolute nightmare who's going to be injured soon.
I was confused when I was watching. I don't watch Dynamite, but I'm like, why did how did Pac get involved in that? I was really confused on that one.
Apparently, but I was like, maybe he's fucking Marina Shafir. I don't know. I don't know why she's involved.
Marina Shafir.
So I'm not trying to take your time, Michaels, but literally because the Lucha Bros are WWE bound, that left Pac kind of orphan. So he had no crew to run with. Gotcha. So essentially, the Lucha Bros were part of the Death Triangle with Pac, and they were supposed to win the Trios titles at All in Wembley. Tony Khan decided to not put them over when the Lucha Bros did not re-sign their deal with AEW and chose to leave to go to WWE. So
what you're saying is that Pac is a bastard now.
He is a bastard, yes.
He's a little orphan bastard. So he should come out in like a orange wig and a red dress. That would only make more sense than whatever the fuck this thing is.
Going back to what you're saying, Michaels, like, I'm watching this promo with Moxley in there with Darby, and he's saying things like, listen, there's things happening in the background. There's things happening, but you don't know about it. I'll talk about it later. Listen, there's things happening. I'm like, well, what's happening? What's going on? What? Give me a little bit more explanation on why, you know, you're acting the way that you're acting. You know, there's just nothing there. You know, everything is, I guess, is a guessing game to find out as to what's happening. So, well, I don't know.
The rumor mill is that, Shane McMahon, this is all going to be the reveal that Shane McMahon is behind this whole thing.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, you know what? I'll take it.
As long as we get a Sting Flair match when they go off the air for good, I'm totally fine.
No.
All right, let me move over to you, Sin City Steve. Man, did you find any WTFs this week?
So you know what? We got to talk about this booking shit that went down on Wednesday. So Moxley, you know, you guys talked about the Moxley promo.
Yeah.
You know, Moxley said that he wanted Darby's title shot. And since the champion is indisposed, the match is made for Grand Slam. It's to be Darby Allin. You know, he was going to be going for the championship against Danielson. But instead, it's now Danielson out of this match. I didn't say off the show. I just said off this match. And now it's Darby Allin versus Moxley. And the winner gets a title shot. Then about 20 minutes go by, you have Nigel McGuinness in a backstage vignette frantically say that he needs to talk to Tony Khan. So that happened.
Yeah.
Then later on, he said, okay, well, since Danielson is indisposed and he's not in a match, well, I got the match from Tony Khan. So what the fuck did we just do? We literally just rebooked the show in about the clunkiest fashion that I have ever seen it done in the history of my watching professional wrestling. But I will say this.
Yeah.
Is this something that they had to do because they were not happy with the ticket sales for Grand Slam? Let's be totally real about it for a minute. Because if Darby was supposed to be challenging Danielson and that match was not drawing, they sold about 3,000 tickets to Arthur Ashe, which is fucking nothing.
Wow.
So what do? You got to get bigger matches. So thus, Moxley and Darby will be your weekly bloodletting match, which seems to be a new thing in AEW now. And then you have Nigel McGuinness versus Danielson in a non-title match, which was a match I thought that they were going to do at Wembley.
Like an eliminator match.
Right. So, I mean, it is what it is. Hopefully, they're doing it to sell tickets. And, yeah, the fucking Jericho car coins bullshit that went down as well. I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to run over. But what the absolute fuck was that shit?
Right. Yeah, I was another thing I was scratching my head over. Like,
more coins, more something. It was the lamest fucking shit that I've ever seen involving the destruction of a car.
Yeah, it's literally Jericho absolutely basically fucking around and saying how bad the show is by doing absolute garbage on purpose and having the fans go, "This is great. He's so entertaining." It's like,
Rob, I'll let you jump in this, Rob, when you was talking to me earlier today and you were saying, you know, it's crazy that you know, they're not selling a bunch of seats, but they have someone like Jericho there, like a big name, you know. And I had told
Jericho's there, and he's been able to keep putting out new personas. The problem is this one is lame, and he's calling back to something that happened 5 years ago where Orange Cassidy dumped a mimosa on him,
right?
And he's got this
$7,000
it's $7,000 shitty fucking, you know, Las Vegas blazer, and I'm not emotionally invested in it. I don't care. And why would, if Jericho is every persona of Jericho is something new, a new point in time, why would this persona of Jericho, who's supposed to be teaching people, why would he care about something from 5 years ago? Why would he have even held on to this jacket just to have a gripe in a pocket? Like, it's a back pocket storyline that nobody asked for because there's not enough heat on it. There's no build. He pulls this guy out of his ass. He goes after a picture of them when they were when Orange Cassidy was part of the, you know, the Best Friends, which none of those members are in the same league anymore. You know, Chuck Taylor's fucking permanently off the shelf. The other one's gone.
He's injured.
There's nothing there that happened of any worth to go back and do callbacks, as we say in comedy. Callback being, in other words, I'll lay a seed, I'll put a joke out there, and then I'll call back to it later on. So you're doing callbacks to different stories, and they're not melding together. And you're putting this all with Orange Cassidy as if he doesn't have mic skills to sit there and answer to all of these things at that. What do I give a shit if Jericho's car gets quarters dumped in it? Right. It's not going to do anything. And again, it's the same thing as with the house. Rob, they introduced the car at the beginning of the fucking show just to do a callback like 10 minutes later. You didn't build it up.
Rob,
what the fuck?
You're missing the big the counter is going to be when they're at the arena this week. Okay. Jericho's going to have something like 200 blue blazers drop from the ceiling.
I know, but this is my problem. Is I'm not investing in it.
One.
And you
think about you that one, Rob.
Yeah,
think
I know. About that one. I can't. You cannot build
a lot of heart in that joke.
Oh yeah, I know.
Wow.
All I'll say is I cannot get invested in a storyline that you tried to build up in the course of an hour and a half. You got to build up something 3 weeks. If they would have burned the fucker's house down after the kids already moved in and you see all the kids' toys on the front lawn and, you know, they paste a few fucking unicorns or some kid drawing on there and you see that there was a family living there, then I'm like, oh, my God, that's fucked up. You burned down somebody's house, you know? No.
Well, oh, there's listen, a car. It's Hangman Page. We're lucky that there wasn't an actual cross burning on the lawn.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just saying.
All right. Hey,
Virginia's for lovers.
Let's see
lovers
what
of the clan
are looking out for. My Lord. All right. I think we are back to you, Sin City Steve, starting off. So what are you looking forward to?
All right. So, you know, I did briefly talk about the Jericho segment with Orange Cassidy. But I do want to at least draw attention to one thing and what I'm looking out for.
Yeah.
During that whole conversation, Jericho mentioned that best friends don't exist in pro wrestling. And if you think you have a best friend, then they're probably using you. And they pan back and you get Big Bill's video, the expression on his face, his visuals were spot fucking on. It was like the light bulb went off in his head and he's like, holy shit, this guy's fucking using me. So now it begins. Let's see Big Bill beat the shit out of Jericho, leave him for dead, and then use that as a springboard to get to where he should be, higher on the card, instead of just being comedy.
Which leaves us with another shitty persona of Jericho.
No, have Jericho go away for a few months, please.
Coma Jericho?
Sure. Sure. Whatever needs to happen.
Assisted living Jericho.
Assisted living Jericho. You know, so I'll say this. They are doing a bit more teases with vignettes and things like that. And I love it because they've teased Stokely Hathaway, scouting tag teams. He was watching the tag team gauntlet match from the front row. A vignette ran where he was in an office watching tag team wrestling DVDs. It's obvious he's going to be managing a tag team, but which one? I think Matt Michaels would love this tag team if they choose to go this route. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. If hanger. You know what? Let's go right. Well, you know what? Nah, let's go to you, Rob. Tell us, what are you looking out for?
With this whole Moxley bullshit and the Marina Shafir, I'm assuming that there's got to be the word on the street is, like you were alluding to comically, that it could be something to do with Shane McMahon. But you've got to do something with it. The whole idea that you have a tag team that does not have Moxley in it, but has Pac in it, means that you're going to have to get rid of Wheeler Yuta. You're going to have to bounce Wheeler Yuta, and he's going to go full babyface, and he's going to have to either one of two things are going to happen. Either he's going to have the back of Bryan Danielson when he shows up at Arthur Ashe, or he sets him up for a bigger fall and fucks him over. Because you could easily just go, oh, yeah, that was an act. I was crying. I'm going to kick him in the back of the head, and that'll be it. And I killed his career. I did this. I could say I was the one who killed his career. But I'm definitely going to that. As for this whole Terror Twins thing, they need a third person. They need somebody, because this idea that they're going to run out every week and they're going to go, I know what's going to happen to me next, and then they get the shit kicked out of them week in and week out. They need a permanent person, and it cannot be an Uso. They're going to have to get a third person in their ranks or figure this out. And it'll be interesting to see what happens there. New Day. I don't know if they try to find a way to break New Day up again. I don't know what they do. Maybe they do it without the whole Odyssey Jones angle and just go, fuck it. You still haven't gotten anywhere. So fuck Kofi Kingston. We're still going to press on you, Xavier Woods. We still want you to get the accreditation you deserve. And then of course they'll use them like anything else. But I think they'll still go that route without the Odyssey Jones angle. They'll just kick the shit out of Kofi Kingston.
Okay, all right. Man, Michaels, what you looking forward to, man? Bad blood or something or what?
Absolutely. A Hell in a Cell match between Drew and Punk.
Let's go.
It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. That's a great buildup, and it's going to be interesting to see if Punk can not get injured, to be quite honest.
Fragile Phil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a huge thing. you know, you're also going to be seeing how this.
Why didn't they make those T-shirts?
Fragile Phil T-shirts?
Yeah, you think he would have made one?
No, you know what? They got the better one with his fucking dog on it now, which is fucking amazing. Like, talk about, again, talk about like how you fucking just, you can make money because you can just fucking do anything on WWE and they just fucking brand it. There's a shirt. Here you go.
Fucking Larry.
Yeah. Larry, best in the world shirt. It's like fucking awesome. Yep. The idea of Cody and Roman tagging with the non-trust is always a fun thing. I saw someone online complaining about the fact that, you know, well, why the fuck would he go with him? Because, like, you know, WWE always does that. They make the guy babyface, now he's going to go with the other babyface. But yet, there's tension there, and the guy overlooked the whole idea of the fact that they don't want a fucking tag. But they kind of were forced to because they got pushed into it by the Bloodline. So, but again, it's setting up a bigger story. You know, you're getting somewhere else with this. And that's the whole thing. Once again, longer storytelling means that, you know, shit just doesn't happen right away. So, and, and kudos for Jade Cargill still being a tag team champion. She hasn't blown it yet, so give her another week.
Like her hamstring?
Jeez.
Yeah, you know.
Pump kicked and fucking had a... So come on, just give me one clean match, okay? Just somebody finish her clean, you know? Do it like a porno. I just want a clean finish.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, she'll finish clean. You just jerk.
Oh boy. All right. Let's get into our last little segment here, Best in Show. All righty. Let's go with you, Rob Bosler. What was Best in Show? What show was for you?
I got to give it to Collision. They put on good matches, and the matches had some storyline elements to it. The stuff with Wheeler Yuter and his response where he could barely, you know, get himself into the swing of things. You had at the Beast Mortos and you had the conglomeration match and Holograms doing a good job. Again, I said it before, I was really saying earlier, the Yuka Sakazaki stuff was just tremendous. I love seeing her on there and she performed well. And Serena Deeb was able to perform well and still gave a fan in the audience her flag, so she wasn't a bitch about it. She came out there. And you can have a match where you don't have to have somebody be a complete overt jerk. They can just have a professional match and two people wrestle well. Yeah. And everything that's happening with the with Mariah May, great. She's taken the spot on well of becoming an excellent heel, a believable heel, and she's performing well and doing what she has to do. They had all the elements that you needed for a good show. I'm sure there was only 15 people in attendance, but fuck it. You know, you got them, you know, Future Stars of Wrestling crowd, but I'll take it. When they come over here, I'll watch it.
All right. No doubt, no doubt. Let me go over to you, Matt Michaels. Best in Show for you this week.
USA Network. Three nights.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. Raw's going back down to 2 hours for the rest of the
year. Holy
hallelujah.
For 3 months. I agree with that too.
That's about time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would be great. Now if Dynamite could just go down to 20 minutes, everything would be great.
I mean, that's how much wrestling's on an average episode of Monday Night Raw anyway, so 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's gotten a lot better with Levesque. We're at 25 minutes now, Steve, so stop it. All right. Let's go. In fact, let's
we go. Hope you enjoy the two matches we have tonight. The rest will be video packages.
How about you, Sin City Steve? What is Best in Show?
So for me, it was AEW Dynamite. Yes, the rebooking of Grand Slam was clunky as shit. But outside of that, it was a very fun 2 hour show. The thing that I want to just mention really quickly, Rob, I know that you just talked a lot about the women's division. we talk and have given the women's division in AEW so much shit, but with the two matches that we saw at All Out, the Mariah May, Toni Storm, and the good. Willow and the Willow Statlander match, well, their women's division is executing at a higher level than, dare I say, they ever have. And they're stepping it up. So we've given them shit. We should give them props. And yeah, AEW Dynamite. There you go.
All right.
Yeah. Well, just ask Chris Statlander's vagina about how thumbtacks fell out afterwards.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Willow can't fucking wrestle, so let's just have a fucking street fight with that fucking piece of garbage.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I'm not a fan.
Tell us how you really feel, man.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of hers. Never.
I was Statlander?
Horrible. Horrible.
Well, I never dedicated 20 episodes to saying I wanted to bang Chris Statlander, so she's not getting any help from me.
Statlander's great, but Willow, fuck her.
Oh, he's not a Willow fan.
Oh, you're not a Willow fan.
Yeah. No, Statlander, I've always liked Statlander. Even when she was an alien. Remember that, Steve?
Yeah.
Yes, I fucking do.
Yeah. Well, all people from Long Island are aliens.
I mean, to some extent.
And apparently have thumbtacks in their cooch.
Apparently.
Oh, man.
This is the problem. WWE would have those fucking thumbtacks up on the fucking website for sale in a fucking little bag for fucking 25 thumbtacks that were in the cooch for like fucking $50 a crack.
All right, who wants authentic Willie Nightingale bloody thumbtacks?
It's too bad Don West is no longer with us.
Oh, jeez.
We got a bag full of thumbtacks from her vagina.
R.I.P. to the real one, Don West.
God. Yeah, man. God. Hey, listen, let me shout out everyone. Thanks for hanging out with us if you was part of the live stream. If not, if you download the podcast, thank you for listening to that as well. We appreciate you. And yeah, we'll be continuing doing this as we always do. All right. Final thoughts, guys, for the week. I'll start off with you, Sin City Steve. What you want to tell the good folks out there?
All right. Hey, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special shout out to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%.
No doubt. Rob, where are you going to be at this week, man?
Let's see. On, I want to say the 30th, I should be at Backstop Comedy Club. On the 25th, I don't have the location yet, but you check out my site. I'll have that. October 5th, I will be at LA Comedy Club for WrestleMania, where it will be Kamala versus Donald Trump, provided Donald Trump is still with us. If he's not, I will be appearing in a white suit covered in patches, because, you know, this is like getting every other week now. He says something dumb and then, you know, he gets shot at. So, you know, God forbid he talks about, like, you know, these people, they're zombies, they're cannibals. They're sending cannibals from Mexico. Someone's going to take a shot at him. So, you know, this is, Jesus.
You know, we are going to have to at some point come to one of your shows, man. We got to
they're eating the dogs. I mean,
as a group, Vegas Bad Boys support Rob Bossolari. You got to be funny that night, though, right? Can't embarrass.
A lot of people, a lot of American folks say that there is, for their money, no one better in the game. That's what they say. They call it the game. It's like Triple H. Got to play the game. We play the game very well.
Is that America. Your Rock impersonation?
The Rock says, "No, you're all in shut your mouth, Michaels."
Wow, that was guys awful. That was yeah. so fucking yeah,
he's
bad.
He's still working on it. Follow him at Boss Comedy, where you can find out. You got to be in the Las Vegas area, of course, to see him. Or LA Live, he's got coming up. He'll be in LA.
Yeah, so, no, I was going to be in Lexington. I will say this real briefly. If you do want to book me for a show and you want to have me come to your city, I can. But it's got to be like at least three weeks a month out so I can get accommodation set up. Somebody tried to do that and they gave me 1 week to prepare. That's insane. So, but I don't mind traveling to see where you are.
Okay.
See where you're at, I should say.
No doubt. Okay. Matt Michaels, how about you, man?
Rob does have an anti-NXT segment during his comedy show. You know, so you got to check it out. He gets more bookings than most AEW talent on AEW TV. Yes, that too. So
pretty much.
Wow.
Hey, you know, I saw one of my open mics that I was practicing some material at, Austin Aries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can see
Austin's
around. He's done stand-up, yeah.
Yeah, and I was at an open mic to practice, and there I'm like, oh, wow, is that an Austin Aries tattoo? How did you get that? And the guy goes, because I'm Austin Aries. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing a dive bar on Maryland Parkway? Oh, shit.
That's bouncing, probably.
No, he's not tall enough for that.
Oh, boy. All right, wow. John.
How do we feel about JBL showing up everywhere? Amazing. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And we want to see where this is going.
I want him to have long hair and a goatee and sit there with a cigar being like, I want to see Acolytes, the APA back again.
Hey, well, we did see Ron Simmons and Teddy Long on SmackDown in the audience. So, it would have been great if JBL was at TNA, but it would have been great to see JBL kind of show up. But who knows what the fuck's going to happen, but he's coming out in that goddamn long coat. He's more of a real fucking cowboy than Adam Page, okay? What the fuck is this cowboy hangman Adam Page bullshit? Fuck that dude. Give me good old JBL and his fucking cowboy boots and his hat and his fucking steer longhorns on his car. And he's like the Lone Ranger. Yes, he is like he's like the Lone Ranger. And I guess that would make, who's like Eddie Thorpe, I guess. Carl Fredericks is the only one who could be Tonto right now, right? Is there any other Indians? There's no Native Americans.
Nyla Rose come out. For Nyla Rose can fit any scene you need.
All righty.
He's the native beast.
Thank you, everybody, for hanging out. We'll see you back next week. Peace.